Right, idiots. This is Mr. Williams.
This is the Playboy Prince of Professional Wrestling, Lanky Vera.
This is Brian Adamson.
This is Cyrus Blackwell, and you will say my name.
To Jack Sinclair.
This is Joey Fabulous.
This is the Monster of Madden.
And you are listening to the
Broken But Glorious.
To Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious podcasts. Idiots. Get it done now.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by rejected member Azizel. How are you doing, Stephen Azizel?
Hello there. I'm doing it. Smashing. Thanks.
Well, thanks for joining us this evening. Did you have a good New Year, Christmas, etc.?
Yeah, it's pretty nice, actually. So it's the first one we've had with Luna, the six-month-old, and she just loved ripping wrapping paper apart. That was her favourite moment, was just that. Didn't care what was inside the present, as long as she did.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And my four-year-old was shaking at every single present he was given. It was a sort of excitement. Once we get to, like, I don't know, three, and they're just so excited for weeks beforehand, just like, oh, calm down.
I've got a couple of nephews, and as far as I know, those two are, like, counting down the days. Yeah, so they seem to get pretty excitable, don't they?
Well, he's already telling me what he wants for his Christmas next year. he's got no concept of time, has he? Have you seen the new He-Man, what's it? Masters of the WWE Universe, or something. He-Man wrestling figures.
I don't know what to make of them, to be honest.
That's what he loves He-Man and he loves wrestling, so that's what he wants. But I don't think they're available in the UK yet. Right, so should we get on with the interview then? Right.
Yeah.
So, based on what I've seen from your character, were you more drawn to the more demonic characters growing up as a wrestling fan or away from wrestling?
Yeah, absolutely. So my favourites from day one have always been like Undertaker and Kane. Since day one, really. I've always loved the kind of the theatrical side of wrestling, the big characters, the entertainment, the drama. That's got me hooked as opposed to kind of anything else. Not into any real... inverted commas, sports. There's drama, I suppose, but it's not like... It's just big egos clashing, isn't it? Where with wrestling, it's story. It gets you invested, and you can't be a good story, can you?
Cool. So, rather than the style of wrestling, was the character side what you wanted to mold your style around when you started training?
Yeah, definitely. So when I started training, I kind of had the basis of the Azizel character already in mind, and over time it's shifted a bit here and there, but I suppose kind of the core ideas have remained.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely drawn towards, as I say, that kind of Undertaker and Kane spooky vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always been there.
Was there a wrestling style you wanted to go for?
In terms of a style, see, I've always liked wrestling to be quite grounded in a sense. I appreciate all the flips and the dives that people do these days. To be honest, I could never dream of doing anything like that.
See,
I'm small. I'm only like 5'7". I feel like that's something I should be doing, but it's just, I've never been like... particularly athletic, to be honest, and that's just generally never appealed to me. Again, even like the big man style of wrestling, I've always preferred, because they do the big moves and stuff, but it's never too much of it. Like the psychology in particular always seems to be there. I've always kind of liked big stuff, but in moderation, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I can see that. So what prompted you to don the tights and get in the ring in the first place?
See, with wrestling, I suppose it's the only kind of thing I've ever wanted to do. I've never pictured myself much doing anything else. Like, I dread the idea of being tied down to an office 9 to 5. You know, it's not for me. I feel like I'm not destined, but I suppose I just can't picture myself living that kind of life. I feel like I have to do something. I have to leave my mark in some way. And wrestling's kind of been the one passion that's always stuck with me. So I suppose there's nothing else. That's what I have to do. Wrestling is how I've got to live my life.
So how did you come up with the Azazel character, and how's it evolved over the years?
In terms of the name Azazel, I always kind of wanted like a one word name, because I feel like there's not enough of those these days, and I feel like you remember them a bit more as opposed to just a name. Like Pete Willis is just a bit basic, a bit forgettable. And something like a one word name would match the character better. So I was just kind of looking up something demonic, and that name Azazel, it kind of popped up in loads of things around the time when I started. Like in loads of things like games, movies, TV shows, it just seemed to be a bit of a coincidence, so I felt like that was the one. So yeah, as I say, in terms of the core idea of the character as well, I feel like Azazel's just my darker side. Azazel's what I could potentially be if I let myself realise I probably shouldn't be going around beating people up. So, no, it's like the... you know, like the Freudian philosophy, the psychology of like id, ego, super.
I was going to say, it's easier, yeah.
Yeah, so I suppose Azazel's like the id kind of let out, if that makes sense. It's the very. So
the id's your, like, your basic instincts. To,
yeah,
like,
it's like.
I don't know, I did psychology at sixth form, but that was 20 odd years ago.
Yeah, so I didn't do much myself, really, but yeah, your id's basically your primal instincts and desires without any kind of inhibition.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of the best way to describe it.
And how's it evolved as an idea?
So in terms of its evolution, so influences have changed in terms of how I've portrayed them, in terms of aesthetic appearance and moveset and things. So when I started, it was very heavily inspired by Marilyn Manson. If you can see kind of back in like the 2014, 15 days, you know, everything from the makeup to the contact to the gear. And over time that's kind of shifted towards more of a bit of a kind of like a Tekken inspired.
Yeah.
Aesthetic. Because in this past year I've started doing karate. While I've been away from wrestling. And my love for karate kind of came from Tekken as well, so I thought I might as well merge the two together, so to speak. So, I don't know how familiar with the game you are.
I think I played the first couple. I've not played it for a couple of years.
Fair enough. So, if me gear seems to ring a bell with anyone, that's because it's very much inspired by Jin Kazama. So, there you go. So, yeah, it's mainly my look that's kind of changed. And then, say, my moveset, I kind of want to bring a lot of more of me karate into it, so there's going to be a lot more striking, I think, from now on.
I could see you having, like, a more of, like, an Aleister Black type.
Yeah.
Moveset.
I think he's definitely someone more mainstream who I suppose I could relate to in that respect, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of kicks and submissions, I can see that in your character.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You'll have to do that next happy thing that The Fiend does as well. That'd be good.
Yeah, so I've been loving The Fiend at the minute, but wish I could get away with some of the stuff he does.
As long as you don't wrestle under red light, that just annoys me.
I don't know if you'd censor in Birkenhead to be able to do that, but...
Right, so take us back to your first match. What do you remember about it in hindsight? Did you enjoy it? Was it any good? What's your opinion on it?
First match. Now, first match I think I had on a show at all was a handicap on like the RWA showcase shows or junior shows as they used to be.
Yeah.
And it was me and who you might now known as Cameron Solis. So it's up to against Connor the Bullet Stafford, and we won. Well, hey, I didn't do too much in that match, because I think the focus was more on getting Cameron over, because he progressed to like the main roster, so to speak, and I was still kind of very much based in the juniors, so the focus was more on him. I got in there, I did my bit, but I think for a first match it was okay. Not great by any means, but passable.
Yeah. Alexis Falcon's the only person I've asked that watch really enjoyed their first match.
Not really.
She still watches it now, apparently.
I don't know. I dare not go back, watch anything past, like, I don't know, 2017. Yeah.
This is the leader of the rejected Demon Eye. You are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so away from the ring, you're at the drummer with the band Onimus. That's a great name for a band.
So I've been drumming with them for, it'll be 5 years. I've been playing drums for, like, say, about a decade, to be honest. But with those guys, I started in 2015.
Tell us a bit about the history of the band. Where did you meet all the members and stuff?
So the guitarist, Liam, or Croft as we'll call him, we've been like friends all throughout high school, so we played together in various bands, and then the opportunity to join the Omnis opened in 2015, and we both kind of jumped on board, really. Frontman Key, he'd been to school with us, he was in our year, and then Ted, our bass player, Kieran had met him through college, and so when we needed a new bass player, we got him in a few years ago, and we just gelled, you know, like when you know there's chemistry among bands and you know it works and it fits, and since like we got Ted in, it's been clicking. So we're all like near lifelong friends. We've known each other a long time, and it's been great.
So what are some of the biggest influences on the music?
So we all have quite different things. As I say, with me, it's more like the industrial side of things, like the Marilyn Mansons and that. But I think as a whole, we're very much inspired by the sludgier metal, like Down. You know, it's Phil Anselmo's band from Pantera.
Yeah.
Yeah, so stuff like that. Things like Clutch, a bit of Rob Zombie here and there.
I could definitely hear some influence of 80s thrash in there, so like early Metallica, Machine Head, Slayer type, when I was listening to a couple of your tracks.
Yeah, definitely like a Machine Head, Mastodon, Gojira, all that stuff's kind of creeping in a bit, yeah.
Cool. So what are some of the main topics or themes of your songs?
So I believe one of the songs I might have sent you was Killdozer. Our new single, which is going to be planned for release at some point. That is about a fella in America a while ago who, I believe, he owned a shop, and he was very much into like construction and demolition. And the story goes with him, this is a real life story, by the way, where I think the local town kind of stopped him selling stuff, and they wanted to build something that would stop him selling. For about a decade, he'd spent building this massive bulldozer that was like fortified with concrete and steel and things, and he just went on a bulldozing rampage.
Wow.
The course of this day and time. It's ironically, it's called Killdozer. He didn't actually kill anyone besides himself at the end. I suppose the song's just about that story, and how it's a bit like, you know, one man kind of just taking things into his own hands, kind of being fed up with the law and authority and being told what he can and can't do. I suppose, you know, the song Ragnarok, which is our single we have out now, I suppose about it's the world we live in, you know, how corporations and superpowers rule everything, and it's difficult for the working man and people like us to find our way and to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of seems like we're slowly imploding on ourselves. And I think given what's going on in the news at the minute, it's quite apt.
Yes, definitely. It's a really good song. So we'll play that in a minute. So what's the ultimate direction of the band?
So in terms of where we're heading, So we made like an album's worth of songs, which we haven't released because our plan is to kind of build up more of a fan base.
Yeah.
And for the past few years, we've been trying extremely hard to get onto, you know, the Bloodstock Festival.
And yeah, so, I was going to ask you, trying to get onto like the start on the lower stages and festivals and stuff.
Yeah, so Bloodstock do, I think, every year called Battle to the Masses, which is like a qualifying tournament. Basically, yeah, right. It's like a battle of the bands where you play and then they vote on whoever the favourite is. And then, yeah, if you're successful, you get through to like the, I believe it's called the New Blood stage, which is where they showcase all new up and coming bands. So like our goal for this foreseeable future is to get on that.
Bloodstock's a festival. I haven't been to a festival for years, but I used to do the Download nearly every year.
I've never been to any festival myself, but the rest of the band have gone Bloodstock for like the past 5 years, I think, and they love it every time. And like they keep saying to me, "Oh, you need to go." It's like, yeah, but about 200, 300 quid a ticket, and I just don't have that at the moment.
Yeah, you spend about 50 quid a day on drink. Yeah, you get there on the Wednesday.
Yeah,
I was wrecked by the Friday. I couldn't even. didn't want to drink anymore. So I was forced to get out of my tent because for 3 days. I was just drinking.
Some of the stories I hear. And you just wonder how you'd last one day, never mind like half a week.
Yeah, you're there for six. Yeah. I was okay in like 2006, 2007. I could do 6 days worth of drinking, but by the time I got to 2010, I was just getting nearly 30. I just couldn't do it anymore. All right, so where can the listeners find your music?
Say again, sorry.
So where can the listeners find your music?
Okay, so Ragnarok, I say the single that's out, is available on things like Spotify and iTunes and all stuff like that. I believe we put up quite a few live performances on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so again, your main kind of music streaming services are where you'd find us at the moment. There's no kind of release date on Killdozer, so we've got quite a good mix of it done at the moment, and I think we've got artwork in the works at the minute, but there's no foreseeable release date for that at the moment. But once that's out again, that'll be out on Spotify and other things.
Okay, so I'll put links in the description where people can find your music. So we'll play your single Ragnarok, and then we'll be back with some listeners' questions.
Certainly, yeah. And all the tax you keep on giving, but the so-called revolution. Welcome to the 21st century. Look at all that we've done. Atomic bombs pass you every free. Upon the war that was won. I can't take it anymore.
I can't take it anymore. before we blow up my crime.
So I hope you enjoyed Ragnarok. So have you ever considered using like Ragnarok as like your like entrance music or anything?
I've considered using one of our songs. I think one day I need to kind of sit down and have a think of what the perfect kind of storm would be in terms of what would fit the character. Yeah. They're great songs, but I feel like they need a bit more of a, I don't know, a creepy vibe, I suppose.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
But Ragnarok was used by TNT last summer.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, for, was it Summer Explosion?
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, because we're another guy I've known for ages is Kieran Moran, who commentates for them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've known him since I was like, I don't know, 5. And so I think thanks to him, we managed to get Ragnarok used for that show. But yeah, I think one day you could see me coming out to an ominous track for sure.
Cool. So I've asked the Wrestle Island Facebook group some questions, but first I just want to go, how did you get involved with Wrestle Island?
Wrestle Island? Honestly, I think thanks goes to Ryan for that, or Dean and I, because of how well he's worked with Pete Blacken. I remember when... say back on Wrestle Island, it was Mystery Island, the shop, and and say there was loads of plans for us to kind of go down and like wreck the shop and things as a build up to the shows.
Yeah, I remember Pete talking about that.
So I think once Ryan kind of got wind of Wrestle Island and got in touch with Pete, I think that was where the plan was to bring me and Abaddon in as well.
Yeah.
I think thanks to that, we've managed to be in like a Wrestle Island staple from the beginning, really. And I'd say thanks goes to Ryan and Pete for that.
Yeah, the first match I saw you in was, I wasn't sure if it was a tag match or was it a handicap match against the Maya Legacy.
I think it was
about 2.5 years ago.
Oh, God, yeah. I think it was a handicap match. I think it was the 3 of us against the 2 of them, yeah.
Yeah, it was Yeah, and you really impressed me and my son. He bought the mask straight away. He was part of the army. He stepped like the day off. All right, so we'll start with some questions. Might as well start with a few from the rejected army, Ian and Graham. So Ian Jones first asks, when you're coming back?
Well, sooner than you might think. So I believe next show is February.
February 23rd?
Something like that, yeah. So you might just see me then. Who knows?
In the Rumble?
Yeah.
He says, he also asks, what are the rejected plans for Island Domination after Pete and Demon Eye's match went against us?
Yeah, heard about that. So, plans for Domination. Well... to be honest, I suppose we've already dominated the Island, so to speak. We've dominated it from day one when it started. Mm-hmm. Plans are to keep ripping and tearing through competition. I believe Jack Riley stuck his nose in.
I was going to say, it wasn't really Pete versus Demon Eye, it was Pete, Gino, Ramsey, and...
No, it seems to be Demon Eye versus the world in reality. Mm-hmm. So.
And Jack Riley, yeah. So it's like 3-on-1, basically.
So. Plans for Domination, in that case, take on the world.
Because, he says, are there any plans for any new rejected members now Alexis has gone solo?
I don't think we necessarily need anyone else to join the ranks. I think who we've got are a perfect fit for the group. You never know when someone walks in, anything, they'll be a great addition, but for now, I think we've caused enough mayhem and destruction as we are. I think
you're a great three because you could have any two of you as a tag team, and then mm-hmm. like the big man, you've got you, and then you've got like the leader. You can go off and do solo things as well, but you can also go back to do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of room.
Trio or because the tag team titles apparently coming in soon. So
yeah, there's a lot of potential for mixing and matching with just three of us, I think, as well.
Right, so then he says, how do you feel about the hashtag army who love the rejected and are growing? So hashtag loyal fans, hashtag we are the rejected, hashtag army.
Hashtag etc. You know what? It's nice to have a fan base, I suppose, you know. As the quote-unquote bad guys, I suppose you're never really used to having people cheering. You're always getting stuff thrown at you, booze, kids running up and kicking you in the shin. So it's nice to have a little corner of guys who are loyal, wearing the masks and holding up signs. It's nice. It's nice. I can't complain. Not at all.
Alright, Graham Williams asks, when you return to the island, will you still be rejected, or will you break away like Alexis and go for gold, or even join up with Alexis as a tag team style?
To be honest, I don't think there's any beef between Alexis and I. But I think she's doing well enough on her own from what I've seen.
She's got an island title match at next show.
I think she earned that last year, didn't she, the Rumble? Mm-hmm. In terms of staying with a rejected or breaking off on my own, you never know. Time will tell, but I don't think there's any plans right now for me to fly solo from the rejected. I'm liking what we're doing at the moment, and I think there's a lot of unfinished business with a lot of people.
Cool, and then we've got favourite moments in wrestling.
Favourite moments in wrestling, I think, was when I won the RWA heavyweight title. So that was 2017 Rumble in Runcorn. I felt like that was years of effort and hard work I put into that moment. And to be able to win the top belt in a Rumble. I thought that was
I feel like Ric Flair in 92.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Yeah, I suppose you can't top being like Ric Flair, can you?
Funniest moments in wrestling?
Oh, funniest. That's a hard one. I think, was it the last Rumble? It might have been the one before where there was the giant conga.
Yes, that was the first one, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I was actually in the ring at that moment. I think I was waiting to enter, but I could just see the whole thing unfolding.
And then you've got number one opponent you've had a match with.
That I've had a match with. I think this would fall under opponents I'd love to have a match with as well, and like a proper match would be Demon Eye.
Yeah, wow.
Because something started with us in RWA, and then it kind of didn't really finish. It fizzled out, and we did have a scrap, and we had a mixed tag match at one point that we were on opposite ends of, but we never had that one kind of big blow off match. And the time I had against him was great, but I'd love to have that one proper match with him. But in terms of people I've had matches with, there's been quite a few. So both Riley brothers I've had great matches with, and AJ Johnson, if you're familiar with him from RWA, and Gino, you know, Ramsey. Oh god, I've got the scars to to show for Gino.
Cool. Then we've got Lily Dimelow asks, is there anybody at the island you think would suit being in the rejected or be a good fit for the rejected?
I think that Jack Riley would have been a good one, but just had to go on the other side, didn't he? Yeah, no, he'd have been a good choice, and suppose Freddie would be as well, I reckon. You never know. Like I said before, you never know when someone's going to walk in and be a good fit.
And the final one, we've got Thomas Lewis asks, what's your biggest ambition as a wrestler?
I like to set kind of small achievable goals for myself, because yeah, so you never know what the future holds, really. I suppose my ambition at the moment is to kind of become a full-time wrestler and be able to kind of do that day in and day out.
Because, yeah, definitely.
Like I said at the beginning, I dread the idea of being stuck in an office and just kind of working for the man. So being able to just kind of do wrestling every day and live my life that way would be amazing.
Yes, definitely. All right, so we'll play another track from The Onimus, and then we'll be back with questions from the your RWA mates. So This is Lone Wolf.
my wise old friend. Your hands and tell me this is the end. Why would you do that in my time of need? You try to break down my false self-esteem. Is it for all of this life that I have? It does. Then I'm alone.
I hope you enjoyed No Move. So, I contacted a couple of your WA mates and asked them the questions. So, Harry McKenney. He said, please ask him, can I wrestle him? Because I think he's boss.
I remember we had a match actually. It was on the Showcase show a long time ago. So, it was when he was kind of starting out, and then say I'd already. Kind of moved on to the main shows. And to see where he's come from to where he is now, it's mind-boggling. It's absolutely mind-blowing because he's doing awesome at the minute, Harry.
He's so good. He's only 17, so God knows what he's going to be like in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, the progress he's made as well in that time, it's baffling. So I'd love to have a good one-on-one match with him now with how far he's come.
Well, his actual question is, what's your proudest moment in wrestling? So you've kind of already answered that.
I'd stick with the 2017 Rumble, winning the title, yeah.
Brian Edenson. So Brian would also like a match.
Now, I've never had a match with. I'd absolutely be game. He's another karate expert.
Yes.
So it'd be interesting to see kind of the trading of strikes in that match, I reckon. Yeah, I'd be down for a match with him, and he's doing great as well, Brian. I think he's just starting to come onto the island as well now, isn't he?
He had his debut at the last...
Yeah.
He's been a member of Rejected. Once or twice, I think. So he asked, will you return to RWA?
Yeah, I think the plan's there. Eventually, when the time's right, I'll step foot there again. Definitely, yeah.
And he said, where will you be wrestling in the near future?
Near future, it'll either be RWA or Ireland will be my next appearance.
Cool. And then we've got Cyrus Blackwell. He says, what's one of the weirdest things you've realised now you've stopped wrestling? Since you stopped wrestling?
I suppose it's kind of... how quickly, like I said, with the progress that guys like Harry and Brian and the Rileys and even Cyrus himself has made, when you take a step back, you kind of miss out on it. And it's like, it's a bit sad. You kind of want to see these guys progress and get better and better each time you see them. I suppose the break I took... starting last year was very much needed for things that were going on in my life. So I don't regret taking the time off that I've had, but I'm still itching to get back into it. And I'm torn apart, like, between, you know, wanting to go back and thinking, you know, do I need some more time to prepare, really? So, yeah, and, so seeing everyone progress and then... yeah, I think that's the main thing.
Fantastic. Matt Fox asks, has Luna bumped yet?
I suppose no way she has. She's a tough little nugget. She'll find ways to, like, bump her head against things, but she'll just no-sell it.
Oh, we used to call our Joel my oldest bump when he was like younger, because he'd always come home with a random bump on his head every day. what are your favourite demon and fallen angels? Who are your favourite demons and fallen angels?
This will test my knowledge of, like, theology and things. Well, kind of Big Daddy Satan himself. you know, I'm not too into the it's like the literal.
No.
obviously, can't go wrong with Azazel himself, the old goat fella. I don't suppose I have my favourites, really. Oh, actually, saying that, I like Pazuzu, because that's who the demon is in The Exorcist, and I like that film, so there's one.
It's the cheapest thing Cameron Solis ever said.
Oh, dear. I can make a list of these. No, I've got me one. Right, so back before we ever went to RWA and I think we ever like considered properly train, we used to like wrestle in the living room. We'd wrestle on this trampoline and things.
Yeah.
And one time he cut a promo on me and he said, quote, that he was going to intensely explode all over me. So yeah, I think that's the one that comes to mind there. Yeah.
That kind of links into his last question, so he's got any good backyard wrestling stories.
Oh dear. One day I'm going to have to dig up all like the recorded matches we did. We had that going for years. We nothing much ever came of it. We just used to film it and watch it back and have a laugh. Stupidest moments. I think it was just all the characters we used to come up with, because it wasn't just me and Cam. There was a few of us, Croft from the band. It was his idea to start it, and just all the stupid ideas we used to just come up with. I've got to tell this story. So one character we had was a guy called Spam, who was a maniac.
Yeah.
He just completely lost his mind. But so one angle we had was where he ended up becoming like general manager.
All right.
And all his rules were completely batshit, to say the least. So one idea he came up with was a stipulation called a spam rules match, where in order to win, you had to pin an opponent on a picnic blanket and you had to be on your possession, you had to have a pair of sunglasses, because that was part of his attire.
Yeah.
So then one match was going to be this big title match between me and Cameron. And I think it was something like, you know, I'd do the thing as it... The finish was I'd hit him with a chair and I'd just drop the chair on him. I'd have the sunglasses on me and I'd pin him on the picnic basket. So I think, oh, great, I've won. But then the angle's going to be he'd come out after the match and go, no, you're not. See, that chair was on top of Cameron and your sunglasses were touching that chair. So really, that chair won the match and that chair was champion. And it was like, oh, my God. So that's got to be one of the best ideas we ever had. And that idea, I've got to credit to Croft. That was all him.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, and then there was like the future's going to be like the chair would get injured and like break its leg or something. And then one week we'd have to wheel the chair out in like a neck brace and a wheelchair. So you can only imagine some of the things we came up with.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, huge thanks to everyone who sent in questions. That was a lot of fun.
Yes, thank you.
This is the Monster of Baden, the biggest masked member of the Rejected, and you're listening to Broken for Glorious.
Alright, so where can listeners see you? Might be gigging in the near future, or as you said, you'll be at... Hopefully at Vessel Island on the 23rd.
I believe so. I believe I'll be there. So Wrestle Island, and keep an eye out for any RWA shows, because you never know. And if anyone wants to listen to any Ominous, wants to come and see us, I don't think we've got any gigs lined up at the minute. With them doing Metal to the Masses again, I think that's in April, around the 20th, 24th.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be in heebie-jeebies in Liverpool.
Oh, I've been there for years.
Yeah, it's always in the basement of the... So, if you ever fancy it, come on down.
That sounds good. I might have to go to that. Cool. Do you want to promote your social media before we go?
Yeah, sure. So, at the moment, I'm really only active on Twitter, at Azazel Wrestler. for if anyone fancies following kind of personal stuff, Facebook, Instagram at Peter Nori. But yeah, but I think that's about it. I'm not the most active person in the world at the moment, but I suppose I've got the little one to look after and keep an eye on. She's at the age where she's starting to roll around and things, so you can never...
You can't wait, because I can't leave them alone for a second. Just...
Nope, not at all.
But it's nice, you can have a sleep whenever they sleep.
Yeah, to be honest, at the night, she's quite good. Like, from when she was born, you know, everyone was telling us, oh, you're going to be up every 2 hours. And believe it or not, she'd sleep right through from, like, 12 till 7.
Wow.
But yeah, recently we started getting in the habit of waking up at, like, 4 or 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. But I think that's down to, like, teething and the fact that we're putting her on, like, proper food now as opposed to just the bottles.
Yeah. Alright, so I've really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Oh, no problem. I'd be game to come on again, absolutely.
Yeah, or all links to your social media will be in the description below the interview. So, playing us out, we have the final offering from The Onimus. This is Killdozer.
Have you ever... Oh, I missed out the story of how I actually got exposed to wrestling in the first place. So, back when I was, like, a toddler. Yeah. So, I've got two big brothers, and... So I was born in 96, so when I was, like, that age, it was 98, 99, and this is, like, the height of the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. So my brothers aren't fans of it anymore, but back then, when it was, like, the cool thing, they were. And their big plan was to basically sit me down in front of, like, Monday Night Raw when my mum was out working evenings.
Yeah.
And basically just make me watch whatever the most violent thing going on was, so that by the time I went into nursery, I'd start, you know, hitting all the other kids with chairs, dropping stunners.
Yeah.
But no, I disappointed them. I was a good lad.
Oh.
No, but I started playing like Warzone on the Nintendo 64 from a very young age.